Their USDA prime steak entrees or seafood options and dessert with New York style cheesecake with strawberries or creme brulee. Call Surf and Sirloin 822-3637, 822-3637 or online surfandsirloin.com.
Hollywood Casino. Come play where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Hey, this is Cam. For most of us, it's not a question of if we're going to experience hair loss, but when. You need to find a proactive approach to finding a hair loss solution. There is only one center that provides the latest technology and the most skilled doctors. That center is Hans Wyman. Hans Wyman offers the most advanced treatments available. Artist Robot, PRP, laser treatments, and Brio Hair Solutions for both men and women. Lots of folks offer hair solutions, but for the best results, go to the best hair restoration center in the country, and that's Hans Wyman. Call now to schedule a free hair and scalp analysis. Let their skilled professionals find the personalized treatment plan that works for you. Call Hans Wyman, and you will receive $500 off any hair solution. Restrictions apply, so call now, 1-844-909-4267, or go to HansHairLoss.com. That's 1-844-909-4276.
TMA Lives provide a great opportunity to watch and participate live with the Ryan Kelly Morning After, as well as enjoying fellowship with other TMA lemmings like yourself. This month, TMA Live is on November 8th at the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. The first 100 lemmings to RSVP for this live event will receive your first Bud Select courtesy of Anheuser-Busch. Doug the Cat and I will be there, will you? That's this month's TMA Live at Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois on November 8th.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Mr. Landoff will not be with us because he's busy. That's usually a good thing. Busy means, you know, selling cars. So I will do the honors. I don't have his home address in front of me, and that's good because I'd be tempted to, you know, give it out and then say, take all your kids to their house and have your kids walk up and go, I'm AM in the PM. Whew, I can't imagine what a big pile of candy they get. Of course, he probably wouldn't appreciate that if I did that, so I won't. Here's what I will say to you. It has nothing to do with Halloween. Many of you will be driving your kids and other kids around tonight, like the kind of, you know, one year it's this parent's turn and another one's, and then mom takes the kids of two other friends of hers. I get asked a lot, what do I think is the best vehicle that I've ever owned? Because I have owned, embarrassingly, over 100 cars, and that is a sick... It'd be one thing if I were a collector or had like a Jay Leno airport hangar or something. I don't. These are just car. One year, in one calendar year in my 30s, I went through 8 cars. You talk about losing money on trade-ins. 8 in a year. I bought a Subaru. It was a sedan. Nothing against Subaru, but this is back in the 80s. I bought one. Because I went down Manchester Road, and there was a dealership there, and I saw a big sign that said, Diamond Anniversary Subaru, whatever the model was. And I walked in the showroom floor, and it was the first car that I ever saw that had a digital speedometer. I mean, you look up, and in digital green LED numbers, it told you how fast you were going. I thought, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I'll take it. So I just traded the car I was driving. They emptied the trunk, and I took it home. I got rid of that car in 8 weeks. I hated that car. After I got past the, whew, look at the cool speedometer, it was underpowered. Nothing against Subaru. I didn't bother to check on what kind of power. It was the weakest, smallest four-cylinder engine they had. I was sick of it the next day, and I knew I'd done a horrible, I'd made a big mistake. But when people ask the question, what's the best vehicle you've ever owned? I have one answer, because the first answer is that's impossible. You can't compare a Corvette Z06 to a Volkswagen Beetle in the 70s. You can't compare. So I said, so here's what I will tell you. The best value, in other words, the most vehicle for the money in my life is a Chevy Suburban. It has plenty of power. It has all the room in the world. It's beyond comfortable. It's like sitting in a living room recliner. It's safe. You can haul your kids, the neighbor's kids, and the next neighbors down the street from them, their kids and their stuff. It's a great vacation vehicle. It's a great everyday vehicle. That'd be my answer. And you know who sells them? Johnny Landau. Second choice would be Chevy Tahoe, which is basically a short Suburban, or a Suburban is a long Tahoe. They're the same vehicle, except the chassis on one is longer, and you got more seating and more room. If you don't need all that room for a Suburban, then you get a Tahoe. You still have the same great, dependable, versatile vehicle. So that's my answer. Now, there was a time when there were two Suburbans. Now, how many of you guys know this? You could buy two Suburban. One was a Chevy Suburban. Who remembers what the other one was?
A Suburban?
Yeah,
it was called a Suburban. No, GMC. GMC had a GMC Suburban and a Chevy Suburban. Same name. Essentially same car. Isn't that weird? And they finally dropped the Suburban from GMC and they called them something else. I'm not going to mention it because I'm not here to plug GMC. What I'll tell you is this. Today, I still think probably, especially for people with a family or people who... I used to have a friend who was a salesman. He was on the road a lot. He carried all his supplies in a Suburban. But Chevy has a lot of great vehicles. I know the news now is... I'm not going to name the manufacturer, but somebody's about to drop all their cars. They're not selling cars anymore. They're only going to sell trucks and SUVs. And I get that. Because in this country, more people buy trucks and SUVs than buy cars. But if you still like a car, I do, a real car, a sedan or a coupe, test drive that Impala. That new, oh my goodness, what a terrific vehicle that is. And of course, in conclusion, you know where we want you to go test drive these things and hopefully buy them, and that's Johnny Landau Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, and of course, 24/7 at Landau.com.
How much is that?
That's right, it's the special Halloween edition of Dr. Doug's segment. And I already know in the beginning what his little speech is going to be about. Probably about not letting your dog or cat get into the candy, because I don't think chocolate's a good idea for dogs, but I'll let him tell you that. Dr. Doug is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. And you can learn a whole lot more at windowworldstlouis.com. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Doug Perko. Hello, doctor. Doctor?
Dr. Doug?
Is this Douglas my fault? Pernikoff calling? No. Dr. Douglas Pernikoff.
Yeah, no, he's on. Everything is red and connected.
You know, when you're in the hospital, you've been in the hospital and they do that.
Dr. Pernikoff, could you please call extension 303?
Dr. Did I?
Or Dr. Pernikoff.
Oh, let me call him back. He just sent me a text that said he lost connection.
Okay. I'll just continue doing my hospital speaker impression. Of course, he's not in the hospital. They're animal hospitals.
Dr. Doug Pernikoff, we have a code blue. Would you proceed to the operating room, please?
He does that stuff. He operates on little bitty things. He told us he's operated on fish, like goldfish.
Now, how can you operate on a goldfish? I mean, that tiny...
He's done it.
Wow.
Little bitty equipment, little bitty tools, a little, you know, magnified thing to look through. He's done it all. And then I have to ask him if it's okay, and we're going to do it anyway. Let's try this again. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, how is everyone today?
We're doing great, Doctor. I don't know what happened there. I'm assuming you're on a cell phone and you lost your signal.
Yeah, something happened. And I was so concerned because I'm AM in the PM.
Oh, wow. You can't trick him. So here's the deal. I'm gonna let you make your speech. I know what it's gonna be about the Halloween candy and pets. And then if you don't mind, we're gonna combine your segment here with a continuation of the first hour where we're taking, joke suggestions from people for their little kids to tell when they go trick or treating. Is that okay with you?
That sounds great. That sounds like fun.
I knew it would be.
I have one kind of left over from last hour. He couldn't hold on. This is,
I was right in the middle of a sentence. I was in the middle of a sentence.
No.
And you just jumped in and just interrupted. And I don't remember what I was going to say.
Okay,
we'll let them tell the jokes, and then we'll take anybody that calls, joke or Dr. Doug, either way. Dan, I'm sorry, what?
This is from Rich from Fenton. He said, what did the beaver say after sex?
This could be dirty.
Thank you.
Gee, Wally, that hurt.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's fun. Kids, if you're in the car with your mom and dad, do not tell that joke. But, boy, Rich, thank you, Rich. That is funny. Gee, Wally, that hurt. Oh, that's good. But, unfortunately...
Oh.
Listen, Dr. Doug likes it. Unfortunately, we're going to have to edit it out. We cannot let kids hear that. So, Limey, do the honors.
Radio edit.
What did the beaver say?
Frank, I got one more for you. You'll probably want to edit out. And then I'm done for the hour, because Dr. Doug, I'm sure, has a ton of them. Do you know why strip bars don't give out goodies to trick-or-treaters?
No.
Because their candy swings on a pole and has daddy issues.
Yeah, Limey, you know what to do. Kids can't tell that. Get rid of that.
Radio edit.
Well, I got to tell you, we're compiling two great lists. List A for the kids, list B for us. So, and Doctor, you don't mind, do you? You like kids and you like animals.
Yeah, I think I had kids. Yeah, they're grown up now. That's right.
Yeah. So what is your little speech here about Halloween?
Well, you know the speech, and first I was going to just start and say that the animals of Halloween are some of my favorite animals, and the same animals that a lot of people are kind of disgusted by. Spiders. I love tarantulas, you know that. Rats. I raise hairless rats, and I actually saved one for your grandson.
Let me stop you real quick and tell people we were in there. I took my grandson in there, and he looks at this thing, and he goes, Grumpy, that's what he calls me. He goes, Grumpy, what's that? And I said, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. And Dr. Doug comes over and explains it's a hairless rat. Not because you shaved the hair off. This is just how they're born, right?
Yeah, genetically. And they actually, in the pet trade, I have never sold any, but they tell me that they sell for over $100 a piece.
And that they're good pets.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Well, the rats are always good pets. They're extremely smart.
Here's the deal. Like most people, there's a stigma. In my mind, if you say rat, I think infested, disease, garbage, everything bad.
I think they're one of the best kind of pets for, especially the hairless ones, if you have kind of allergies to dogs or cats and you can't have fish or reptiles, then the rats are cool. And, I love owls, wolves, ravens and all the dark birds and of course cats. I love cats. And the black cat is, you know, one of the great symbols of both the pet for witches and also for the Halloween season in itself.
Why is that? How did that start? Why the black cat?
I don't know. I don't know. It's that, you know, that image of it arched up with its fangs exposed and its tail up in the air. It's like fearful, you know, in those eyes that kind of in the night they reflect and they're green. You know, I think that's what it is. But I love them. I think they're amazing.
I'm sure you have a speech about candy and pets.
Yeah, just the big thing is the obvious that we worry about what our kids are getting in their baskets and their bags, and we also have to worry about for two reasons. Number one, that the candy doesn't end up in the anywhere around the trash or where the animals can get to it, because number one, it's not healthy for them, and more importantly, they also can be at risk. just like the kids. People, there are people out there that do some pretty weird things and expose both children and pets to that. But I think the bigger issue for them is our dogs and cats get into all this stuff. The chocolates are obviously dangerous for them, and they get upset tummies, and they get diarrhea and vomiting. So common sense, keep your animals away from these sources and make sure the kids don't just slop their candy all over the house after they collect it.
When I was a kid, we were told that if a dog ate chocolate, like even a square of chocolate, it would kill him. Now, that's not true.
That's not true. It's the cooking chocolate, powdered chocolates, that are much more dangerous. The milk chocolates tend to just cause a lot of diarrhea and upset tummy. Yeah. But neither of them are appropriate for your pet.
All right. Okay. So what we're going to do here, we're going to open the phone lines up. We do have lines open. You can call if you have a question for Dr. Doug about your pet, or you can contribute to the kids' jokes to tell when they go trick-or-treating segment. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Ken is with us. Ken, happy Halloween. Welcome to 590, the fan. Is your call for Dr. Doug, or do you have a joke?
Sorry, I have no joke contribution today, but I am AM in the PM.
Thank you. And you never have to apologize for not having a joke. That means you are participating in Dr. Doug's segment. Say hi to Dr. Doug, Ken.
Dr. Doug, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you, Ken?
All righty. Hey, I have my question. I got a six-year-old, 60-pound. She's a Sheltie and a Labrador mix. We call her a Shabrador, actually. And so a new designer breed. When I play frisbee or throw a ball for her, and when she runs, and sometimes when she turns abruptly, she'll just stand there with her right leg. This isn't a joke. She'll just stand there with her right leg out at an angle and won't move until I until I rub her shoulder or massage her shoulder and kind of move her leg up and down, back and forth, and then all of a sudden she's out running, wanting the frisbee all over again. I don't understand what's going on.
So you mentioned it was a front leg, is that correct?
It's a right front leg, and like I said, she'll run like crazy going to get the frisbee or the ball or whatever, the stick I throw for her. But sometimes when she, stops abruptly and kind of turns at an angle, she'll do something, and the shoulder, she'll just stand there with her right front leg out at an angle, almost a 45-degree angle, until I go massage her shoulder and rub it, and then everything's okay. She's back to running again.
Yeah, I would presume that she's responding with pain of some sort. So
she's not whimpering. She's not whining or whimpering, though. She's just standing there.
Okay, if it's not painful, then it could simply be like a loose joint that kind of gets in a certain motion, throws it out of its normal association with the joint. So that could be up at the shoulder, and that could also be down in the elbow. But it sounds to me like what you're talking about might be up in the shoulder area. So the most logical suggestion would be get some x-rays with your veterinarian and let them look and see if there's any signs of disruption of that joint. And that's probably your first and best step. He may suggest that you go to one of the orthopedic specialists for a follow-up if he can't figure it out or if basic pain medication doesn't help you, okay?
Yeah, this doesn't happen all the time. It's just every, fourth or fifth time I'm out throwing a Frisbee for her. And then she's happy as a lark, and she doesn't limp or anything.
Well, what might have happened, too, is the first time it happened, you went over and gave her a good massage. She thought, man, I like that, so I'll just fake this and keep doing this. She sticks her leg out just because she knows she get a good massage.
There might That's be something to that.
Yeah. I could be. If you've not done, have you done an x-ray? Have you had an x-ray taken?
No, because like I said, it's not very frequently, but, just once in a while, and she's fine after I rub it.
And anyway, the other thing I would do, Ken, is would go ahead and, if you can, get a little video of that. Just take your little smartphone out when you walk or play.
Well, that's a good idea.
And if that happens, just be ready to film it, and then you have some more meat to show your veterinarian.
All right. Okay? I'll keep all that in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good holiday.
Thank you, Ken. And Dr. Doug, you just did a sexist thing. I don't know if you're old school. I know, but I'm going to try to clue you in on what it's like to live in 2018. You said when you talk to your veterinarian, ask him.
Implying that all vets
are men. Yeah. Ask it. Because if you say her, or him, now you've left the transgender vets out. So yeah. You just have to say it. Yeah, and they'll probably be safe that way. Nick is with us. Nick, happy Halloween. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Are you calling for Dr. Doug, or do you have a kid's joke?
Well, I think I might have both if I can do both.
Ooh, absolutely. Sure. You can do. What do you want to do first, a joke or talk to Dr. Doug? Let's do the joke first.
Oh, yeah, I'll get the joke out of the way.
Okay.
What did the fish say when it hit the wall?
Damn.
Damn.
Good one. Now, see, again, I think a kid can tell that. It's not cursing. It's like a concrete wall. Damn. I think that's okay. Kids can tell that joke. What do you have for Dr. What do you have for Dr. Doug?
All right. Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Just a quick question. We have a small breed. We think she's a mix between some kind of, you know, Schnauzer, Shih Tzu, maybe some Karen Terrier, that sort of thing. My apologies there.
That's all right.
In the we rescued her from a shelter, and about a year and a half that we've had her, she's had about 3 separate ear infections already. Okay. So, when we first got her, they kind of warned us that, I don't know if it's the breed or just, you know, she's got kind of the floppy ears. Mm-hmm. She would, I guess, continue to deal with that. I didn't know if we've been trying to find some just good prevention we can do to keep that from happening for her.
Okay. So, yeah, I know we've talked about this before, but to reiterate to the audience, ear infections are a kind of a pain in the ear for pets. And once they kind of find a home, it's hard to manage them so that they never come back. So typically, even with the best management, you might see some intermittent episodes, maybe months and months at a time would be the best. So, and you're right, it's partly because of a floppy ear that covers over and kind of closes the door on a wonderful, warm, moist environment for bacteria and things to grow in yeast. And then also, the dogs have kind of a deep and slanted canal that goes down and then inward. It creates kind of like a trap, like in your sink. So again, there's another issue. And finally, some breeds have a hairy canal, and that also helps to predispose them to
hairy
a collection
canal.
Of goods.
Sounds like a comedian.
That's Al Canal's brother.
Yeah, appearing tonight, Harry Canal. You know, Nick, right? Dr. Doug just said something a while ago that if somebody just tuned in, they just tuned in and heard him say, warm, moist area with yeast.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear the part prior to that, we're talking about animals and ears, dog ears. That's what we're talking about. So what do you think, Doc? What should you do?
Okay, yeah. So the traditional methods are to make sure there's no particular organism. And so they'll swab the ear, look under the microscope, and then they'll do some kind of flush and hopefully some kind of protocol, which might include a solution that goes in the ear or antibiotics or even some discomfort. Might be using some kind of anti-inflammatory. But now you might even look around and see what your veterinarian offers. I know at our clinic we have something that's called a cold laser, and what that does, it doesn't burn, but it has the ability to increase the cell's ability to heal. And we have a little a stem that goes down into the canal, and that in conjunction with these other medications is very, very useful. So again, if I were you, I'd talk to your veterinarian, ask them about a cold laser device. And that is a great way to help not only clear up the infection, but if you start to see problems, you could always run in, let them take a look, and maybe have an intermittent dosing of that. Okay?
Okay, perfect. And just a quick follow-up. We've been trying, in the meantime, they kind of gave us a, not an antibiotic flush, but like you said, it's just kind of a saline or some kind of mild flush. Mm-hmm. We do that once or twice a week. Is that effective at all, or is that not worth messing with?
No, that can be helpful. There's so many different protocols. There's some medicines that they don't want you to do anymore, flushing or washing while the medicine's in there, because that actually disrupts it, the treatment protocol. And there are other ones where you do have to be on a regular schedule of flushing and then putting some kind of ointment or other liquid back in there, some antibiotic liquid. So again, every veterinarian you talk to is probably going to give you his own personal little protocol or his own personal medical choice for the medicine. So I would use that as your guide, and then bring up something like the cold laser and say, have you ever heard this? Have you ever done this? I understand that this could be very useful. Okay.
Okay. I hadn't heard of that. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Good luck. Nick, thank you for the joke, and thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Nick hangs up, which means the line is open. 315. Jump on it now. Call both of them until you get through on 1-314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Dave is next. Dave, happy Halloween. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Do you have a joke or you want to talk to Dr. Doug?
Talk to Dr. Doug.
All right, he's right here. Dave's, Dr. Doug, say hi to Dave.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm wonderful. AM and the PM, how are you?
So you're going out tonight?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay. How can I help
sounds
you?
A little, Dave sounds a little old to be going out trick-or-treating. Unless he's taking down his kids.
Were you asking him out, Dr. Doug?
No.
Doctor, it did sound, Doc, yeah, like you were kind of asking him out on a date.
It's a new
you going
world
out tonight?
I'm not there yet. Okay?
Well, but you're open to it, obviously.
Yeah, I'm open
so
to
Dave,
10 years.
Dave, what do you got for Dr. Doug?
A couple questions. I got an old English bulldog. He's 5.5 years old. 2 years ago in 2016, he started experiencing, it's called hot spots.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to deal with the antibiotics, 3,000 milligrams of antibiotics, all this stuff. 2017, nothing. This year, 2018, back again.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is it just due to the pollen in the air, the seasonal allergies, if we don't have a cold, cold winter, this happens? Or is it just depends on, it's got to be something on the weather, I'd imagine.
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. Number one, a hot spot is actually what we call a moist dermatitis. So in
yes, that's
often,
what I was going to say.
Most often these kind of find their
who do I hear? Who do I hear whispering? I'm whispering and typing or something. What is that?
I think that might be your imagination then, mm-hmm. Frank.
No, I don't think so. Go ahead,
imaginations. A lot of these end up around the base of the ear or in the side of the face. I don't know where your situation is. It can be other places.
That is exactly right. Right around the facial area.
Okay.
Chin. What happened? It actually went to his rear end as well.
Okay. So what happens is there's some erosion to, in some cases it's purely traumatic, so the dog scratches at its ear and in turn he can't get in the ear, but he gets right on the face, is the most natural spot, and that can start this where bacteria, you know, it's like when you slide into second base playing softball, you get that oozy protein stuff that comes out. That's what happens here, and that sets up for a wonderful environment for bacteria to grow. Now, in many breeds, and this is one you might want to have your vet check if he hasn't done it yet, and that's to check a thyroid level, because low thyroid in middle to older age dogs can predispose them to hot spots, recurring hot spots, and that's a simple blood test. Takes 2 minutes while you're waiting, and then the treatment is very simple too and very, very inexpensive. So that's part of it. And then it could be a genetic thing that's related to allergies, and this might be related to the kind of foods you're eating, and that all put together with other things like the moisture in the air and any other bacteria it gets exposed to is going to set this animal up for these hot spots. And like you said, they're very easy to treat, but it's kind of a pain in the tush to have to do that all the time. So I would sit down with your veterinarian and say, look, you know, this is what I heard. These are some things I'm wondering about. How can we do this so we don't have an issue long term? First thing I would encourage you to do is test for the thyroid level, because the low thyroid might be your key. Okay?
Okay.
And then
perfect.
Also
thank you.
Have them check the ears, too, because that might be the source of interest.
Perfect. Yes, actually, at one time he had not one ear, both ears.
Right, yeah. So I think we're right on target.
Okay.
Hey, Dave?
Yes.
No, I'm just saying, all right, anything else? Happy Halloween.
Yes, another question. Is shedding. Is we have a mobile spa come to home once a month.
Okay.
And he sheds tremendous. You can brush him as long as he has the patience.
Right.
And he will just shed and shed and shed.
Right. And that's the same dog you're talking about, the English Bulldog.
Yes. Yeah, okay. He's an old English Bulldog. He's the bigger breed one.
Yes. Yeah, no, I love him. I used to breed him myself.
But there's really nothing you can do, is there, Doc, about dog? You know what? I just had a great idea. You ought to have bumper stickers at your clinic. It just says, shed happens. You know?
Thanks, everybody. That's for big dogs to shed, and you can't do anything about it. Shed happens.
Oh.
Yeah.
So now some of the grooming facilities proclaim that they can get rid of shedding with these process bathing and suctioning and stuff like that. And that will help cut it out, but Frank's right. This is more genetic than anything else. And certain breeds don't shed at all, like some of the terriers and the poodles. They're great. But this kind of dog, and I have bulldogs, I have French bulldogs. I mean, they sleep in our bed, and I actually wake up with allergic.
There's hair in your mouth?
Hair in my eyes and my. I breathe it up.
Wow.
And they're little tiny hairs, right?
Good for you.
And you're sure this is the dog?
Well, I don't know if my wife's in that bedroom at the same time, but they're definitely there. So I think you've got a bit of a management problem there. And again, your veterinarian might suggest, well, let's try some anti-allergic food stuffs and see if that can cut it down a little bit. But I think you have a management program you're going to have to just maintain for this particular dog. Okay?
Yes. Next question, real brief, is... He was fixed at 6 months old.
Yes.
And about a year ago, he just out of nowhere, not outside, inside, just started humping.
Okay. Yeah.
And
dogs?
He can, and he gets locked up. The only way that he can get, you know, back to where he's able to move is I have to go back and rub his back hind legs, his butt area. And then after that, he's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't let the neighbors see you do that.
He gets locked up.
Weird. Call the police.
So, yeah, there's two things I think about when I hear that. One is to make sure that when they neutered him, if you had him since he was a puppy and you know the vet who did that, if there was one retained testicle actually missed and only one that had descended, he could still be producing male hormones. That's probably not the case, and they can test that simply by sending in to the hormone lab a blood sample that would demonstrate his testosterone levels and suggest that that is happening. And that would be a surgical fix. The other part of it, it sounds very much behavioral, and I don't know if there's a simple fix. I'd have to do a little homework on my own, but I still feel like there's hormonal influence, even if it's not a retained testicle, something else may be out of whack that's suddenly representing itself that way. So that's something else I would speak to your veterinarian about. Is there any kind of scan of sex hormones that you can test or related hormones that become sex hormones? And there are labs around the country that do that kind of special testing. Okay?
Okay, super. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all the information. All right. Thank you.
Dave, thank you for listening. Happy Halloween.
Same to you. Thank you.
All right. From Dave to David, and before we talk to David, remember, lines are open. We have two lines open now, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. David, say hello to Dr. Doug, unless you called with a joke.
I called with a joke.
All right.
Okay.
Hello.
We'll take that.
Huh?
How are you? We're anxious to hear it.
Okay. Well, have you heard that Yoda actually has a last name on Star Wars?
I've not heard that.
Yes, Olehi Hu.
Yoda.
Yoda. Olehi Hu.
That would be cute, David, for a child.
That is a good one. That's a good kid trick-or-treat joke. I like it.
Yeah, I am AM and PM.
Of course you are.
Wilbur should have already known this one.
I'm sorry?
I said Wilbur should have already known this one.
Who's Wilbur?
Limey.
Well, whoa! Hang on a second. I know this, David.
His name's...
No, hang on a second.
Why does he call you Wilbur?
He has been calling me Wilbur ever since I was 8 years old. This is my best friend's dad. I've known David literally since I was 8 years old. Oh. He used to live across the road from my mom in Maplewood. Wow!
Wilbur!
Happy Halloween, David.
David just did something to you that you are going to hate him for the rest of your life. Because you know what's going to happen, Wilbur.
Wilbur!
Dan, your immediate assignment tonight is to go pull Mr. Ed TV show's Wilbur.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to interject him because now that David has revealed. Who else called you Wilbur? Anybody?
No. It's just him.
It was just me.
How did David? Why? Why? Why Wilbur?
It was just a fun thing. I called his sister Wilma, and her name's Katie.
Yeah. She was Wilma. I was Wilbur.
Good to hear from you, bud. All right, David. Thank you.
A fun thing. My uncle always, when I was a kid, always called me George.
Well, you got a screwed up family. Don't we all? Thank you, David.
All right.
Bye, sir. See you soon.
Well, let me see here.
Cool.
Wilbur.
That was really cool.
Wilbur. Yeah. That's the only thing I think of. When I think of Wilbur, it has to come from Mr. Ed. He must have been a Mr. Ed watcher because I don't remember that name in my life ever popping up anywhere except Mr. Ed. That was time. We're good. We take another call. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. You can call Talk Dr. Doug, or you can let us know that Trevor Limey has another name, Wilbur, or whatever you want to do. Lee, welcome to 590 The Fan. Happy Halloween. Did you need Dr. Doug, or do you have a joke, or both? Lee?
Can you hear me?
There we go.
You couldn't hear us. We were calling you. How are you?
Oh, doing well. I'm driving, so maybe there was a bit of a connection issue.
Are you calling for Dr. Doug? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just for Dr. Doug. I didn't have a joke. But right. AM in the field.
Hi, Lee. What can I help you with?
I just wanted to sort of contradict or... You made the comment about dogs eating chocolate and it not affecting them. It actually did happen to us. We had a dog get into some dark chocolate M&M's. So I think it's the cocoa content that can be harmful to them, depending on.
He didn't say it didn't affect them. He said it absolutely did affect them. I said that when I was a kid, we'd been told if you give a dog one little square of chocolate, it would kill them. And he said, that's not true. But he went on to say chocolate is not good for dogs.
Right.
That did kill our dog, actually.
Well, that's one case where it was a fatality. Yeah, sure. But in most cases, if a dog eats one piece of chocolate, it doesn't kill them. That's not the rule. Yeah. But
here's what we're going to do. If you have exposure to the chocolate, you're going to call up one of the emergency clinics. They're going to say if it's within so much time, you want to try and get them to vomit or bring them in, we'll do that. Try and get it in. And then they'll ask you the size of your dog and the type of chocolate that was eating, and they have charts that can kind of give you an idea that, well, this is too much, that's too little, that'll be okay, this won't be. So, yeah, and I was just generalizing here, so I apologize if I misled.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just think in our situation, it was late evening, 10:30, 11 p.m. We didn't know the dog got into it until about 2 hours later, and then, things didn't go well after that. But anyway,
how much chocolate did the dog eat?
Yeah, that's where we weren't sure. My daughter had a container. This is like 7 years ago. She had a container of dark chocolate M&Ms on her nightstand, and the dog managed to get the lid opened and ate some amount, and then just started acting funny, wanting to go outside all the time. She was up late, kind of with her boyfriend there. So, it just progressed. We ended up calling the noticed that in the middle of the night, but yeah, things didn't go well after that.
It creates a cardiac event, and that's what it probably what you saw was some hyperexcitability and kind of edginess, and then of course you get the vomiting and diarrhea that goes with it too. So you're correct, and exactly. I appreciate any information is always good information.
Okay.
All right, Lee, thank you.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. From Lee to Lynn. Lynn, happy Halloween. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Do you need Dr. Doug, or do you have a joke, or both?
Both, please. How are all you, right. Frank?
I'm great. How are you?
Let's, there, buddy.
Thank you. Let's have that joke first.
Okay, well, these are in the edge a little bit.
That's all right.
What does the ghost say when he comes in the bar?
Ghost coming into the bar. Something about booze?
Booze.
I kind of nailed it. No, a kid could tell that joke. What's the other? You got another one?
Yeah, I got another one. Why can't the male ghost have kids?
Oh, Halloweeny.
God, you are sharp.
No, I'm not. We did that. No, I'm not sharp. Yeah. We did it yesterday, and we did it earlier today. Somebody called in with it.
That's okay. Okay, I didn't know you. I didn't hear those.
What do you got for Dr. Doug?
I have some input on the detox and chocolate and stuff like that.
Good. Okay.
Let's hear it.
Dr. Doug, are you there? Hi.
I am. Can you hear me?
Good, yeah, I hear you. So,
okay, good.
About 3 weeks ago, we were painting in the house, and I stepped off the stool or the step ladder, and I cut my ankle real bad on the mantle brick. Mm-hmm. Okay, so from the fireplace through the family room, the powder room, I left a lot of blood. So after I got that under control, I came out with my carpet and upholstery pre-treat spray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm treating the blood spots and taking care of that. And just like with chocolate or any kind of thing that isn't good for pets, my little terrier started licking those spots where it was foamed up, and I had it pre-treated, and she's. That night, we had to take her out to Wing Haven, and she spent 3 days in the emergency hospital, IVs and all kinds of stuff. Very expensive, and just like with certain candies and chocolates, it was a very, very bad thing, close to death.
Right.
So people need to watch candy, the chocolate, any kind of sprays and cleaners around the house.
Yeah, and I want to add something too, because you make a good point. I mentioned with certain poisons, you do want them to vomit if it's within a couple hours of ingestion, because it's not going to hurt anything. But something like you're just describing may very well be an irritant and toxic. So you don't, a lot of times doctors will tell you not to encourage vomiting because you're just going to cause a lot of irritation, erosion of the esophagus or the oral cavity. So again, don't automatically do that. If you do have I'm talking to the general public, if you do have a potential exposure to some kind of chemical in the house, call the emergency clinic or the hotline. There's a poison hotline,
right.
A national hotline, and let them know what you think the dog was or cat was exposed to before you go stepping into the vomiting encouragement. Okay?
Yeah, we did call the emergency line with our regular vet, and then they told us to go out to the Wing Haven facility, and they kept her for 3 days. It was a very traumatic thing. She was really, really sick.
Okay.
So, Wilbur.
Hello, sir.
Hey.
I got everybody calling me Wilbur now. All right, you know, I don't
know. Oh, Limey. I like Limey. Hey, you get my email?
I did indeed, I believe. Oh, wait, this is Glenn, not Len, right?
Yeah, Glenn.
Glenn, how you doing?
No, it's not, because Dan put on the screen Glenn.
Yeah, no, this is actually Glenn Williams.
He's saying Len.
Leonard Glenn Skinner.
Because of Leonard Skinner.
I see.
That was from back in the trading when we were in Saturday morning last month. That was funny. Mm, okay, guys. Lynn, have a great Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, Len.
Yeah.
Len. Glenn,
what is the Halloween drink? Eggnog is Glenn's into whatever the hell.
Something apple cider and fireball, probably fireball shots.
Yeah, probably a little fireball and some apple cider. I think that's what Glenn got into. Well, I see that we are out of calls and almost out of time. We could have taken another joke or two, but
hey, I've got a joke for you.
Try Tom.
All right, well, Wilbur, go ahead.
What does the USS Enterprise and toilet paper have in common?
USS Enterprise and toilet paper. Hang on.
Wait, it's Star Trek.
Star Trek
is the Enterprise.
All right, they both circle Uranus and look for Klingons.
Kids, now let me tell you something, kids. You do not, what Uncle Wilbur just said, you do not repeat that tonight. Uncle Wilbur, you edit that out. I don't want kids telling that joke.
Thank you, JT.
Radio edit.
All right, we just sneak Tom in here. We have time, don't we? Yeah, let's get Tom in here. Tom, happy Halloween. Welcome to 590 The Fan.
Thank you.
Joke or do you need Dr. Doug or is it a joke?
Joke.
All right.
Okay, what did the pig say on a hot summer afternoon?
What did the pig say on a hot summer afternoon? Don't you know who I am, Rosie O'Donnell? I don't know.
I'm bacon.
I'm bacon? Perfect. That's the perfect kid joke. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. All right, well, Doctor, thank you for letting us include jokes in your segment. Yes. We will do this again next week, right?
Yes, and please, everybody, have a great holiday, okay?
All right, thank you. Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Back to work at the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic. If you like Dr. Doug, and who doesn't, you can thank Window World for making his segment possible. Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the country, and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. And you can find out a whole lot more at windowworldstlouis.com. We are only a couple of minutes away from 5 o'clock and the news. And don't worry, because we're not going to call you Wilbur. You have enough names. You have Trevor, Limey, Limestone. We're not adding Wilbur to the mix because it doesn't fit you somehow. You know, there are
that
others
is
do,
that but, is strictly reserved for Dave. Yeah, he's called me that since I was a kid. So,
and if I think of somebody named Wilbur, I think of an older guy, like 70s, 80s, and probably from the South. I don't know. Don't you do that when you hear certain names like Hank? You know, Hank is not a to me. It's like Hank Jr. Hank. It's also a Southern kind of thing where if somebody's name is Preston. Connecticut, you know, maybe somewhere in the Northeast. Yeah,
there's
no Preston. No Prestons down in Texas, I don't think. Certainly Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas. All right, we're heading for the news in the Playhouse. I'll tell you what's coming up here. Call all of your friends and neighbors because you will not get to hear the Freddie Freeman joke for another year. Every year at Halloween for, I don't even know when this started. It's at least 25 to 30 years ago, it started with a simple 30-second joke, and it's gotten out of control and out of hand. But there's no turning back. So the Freddie Freeman joke coming up in the Playhouse. I'll try to get it in early so Mike Evans doesn't go nuts by not having enough time. Also, we will... There's a story in the news. Did anybody else see this story that I saw this morning about these two women? They're partners in marriage, like lesbians, okay, and they're both pretty good looking, and they both carried their baby, each one internally. Did you see this?
No, I hadn't seen that.
They carried the child. I mean, like carried the child in their wombs, both of them.
Wait, one child, both wombs?
Yes.
What?
I'll tell you. It's weird. I will. A lot of things are weird to me. We'll cover that if we have time, and I think we probably will. Don't go anywhere. Once a year. That's it for Freddie. Freddie Freeman coming up after the news. It is 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Charlie Marlowe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump is dismissing accusations that his campaign against birthright citizenship amounts to fear-mongering. Speaking at the White House today, Trump doubled down on his vow to try and end birthright citizenship with an executive order. He said he doesn't believe it is protected by the Constitution. Trump also took time today to say he may send even more active duty troops to the U.S.-Mexican border.
We have about 5,008. We'll go up to anywhere between 10 and 15,000 military personnel on top of Border Patrol.
Talking with reporters at the White House.